This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. If you remember the 1960s, you weren't really there. Well, that quote has been attributed to about a dozen icons of the anti-establishment. For them and countless others, LSD was the psychedelic ticket to tune in to the deeper meaning of life and drop out of societal constraints and aspirations and mind-deadening jobs. Now, taking tiny doses of LSD, or microdosing, is being touted as a way to drop in to workaday life. Publications from the Huffington Post to Forbes report that microdosing is a hot new business trend and Silicon Valley job enhancer. The journalist and author Baynard Woods was intrigued by the idea of acid improving job performance, so he decided to try it and wrote about the experience for Vox. A note here that we are talking about the use of a drug that, while becoming popular in many circles, is still illegal. Baynard Woods, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So microdosing is not about getting high. What is it then supposed to do?
So it's supposed to enhance your performance, your creativity, your focus, and function more like Albert Hofmann, who discovered LSD, had said one time that if it hadn't been scheduled so strictly that it would be used more like Ritalin as a focus kind of drug.
Yeah, it does sound like some of the prescription brain boosters that we hear, you know, helping you focus, helping you tune in. How is it then different?
One of the main differences, and I had also have taken Adderall and Ritalin before, and so one of the things that I found very much different than that is that it was more task-driven in a way. So the energy wasn't satisfied just by screaming at someone on Facebook or, you know, scrubbing the floor or something like that. It wasn't just a compulsion to work. But if I was doing the task that I was doing, I found myself sometimes maybe more deeply engaged in that task than I would have otherwise.
Well, LSD, it was famously the substance of serious research at Harvard under Timothy Leary in the 60s, now again being studied at Harvard, Johns Hopkins, along with psilocybin, MDMA for treating a host of things, PTSD, addiction, even some mental illnesses. So has there been any study into microdosing acid?
There hasn't. And being here in Baltimore, the Johns Hopkins studies are right up the road. And so I know and interviewed all of the people that are involved, or many of the people involved in running those studies. And it's actually from an entirely different tradition of psychedelic therapy. Microdosing builds on the idea of psycholytic therapy, which was the idea of taking a small dose of acid and then doing something like Freudian psychoanalysis to achieve better insight into yourself. Whereas what they're doing at Hopkins is the head researcher there, Bill Richards, just came out with a book called Sacred Knowledge. And it is about giving very large doses that essentially, he argues, bring you to the state of unitative consciousness, of feeling one with the universe, and then helping you reintegrate that into your life through therapy, both before and after. So it's a very different thing. And there are currently no double-blind or any kind of rigorous academic studies being done with microdosing, partly because the idea is going out, you know, they can do the Hopkins studies in a very safe lab environment, but if the idea is to go about your ordinary business, it's harder to do that.
Well, you did your own sort of researching, a party of one. First, there are some very specific processes for microdosing. Can you run us through that a little bit? What did you do?
Sure. And so the research that is going on primarily comes from James Fadiman, who's a psychologist in California. And he started collecting accounts from people. So he did come up with a protocol that suggests that every 4 days that you would take a microdose, which would be about a 20th of the average sort of recreational dose that people would take, you know, on blotter paper or whatever of acid. And so it would be a very, very much smaller amount of that. You would take it early in the morning because it does last about 12 hours. And I did feel, you know, that it probably would have been difficult to sleep after that. So I took it in the morning, and I was wildly unscientific. I mean, just to be clear, I got the drug from an illegal source, had no way other than most illegal drug users through most of history than to trust my dealer to know what was actually there. And I people often will mix it in distilled water. I didn't do that. I just snipped off a little teeny corner, put it on my tongue in the morning, and waited to see what would happen, and tried to forget as much as possible that I had taken it. All of these things make it a extremely unscientific, but a phenomenological type of study.
Hmm. Well, you are a writer, you know, you're often working alone in your office. I think at this time you were working on a book proposal. What did you notice? What was it like?
So, yeah, I was working on a book proposal, and which sort of in itself was taking a bunch of material I had already reported on, people who believe in the ancient Greek gods, and then trying to arrange it in a way that would make sense. And so it was sort of like one of those playing with blocks sort of things. And I felt that there was an almost, I mean, this is starting to get into the trippy kind of language that is sort of trying, but almost like a more 3D sort of experience of thinking about the way chunks of prose or ideas would sort of fit together into a larger structural whole. And I would find that 2-3 hours would pass and I would have been so deeply engaged in the work that I wouldn't have been aware of that passing of time. And then the most striking thing I found was that it really broke. Being a reporter, like most reporters, I'm addicted to Twitter and knowing what's happening at every minute. And it really broke that cycle to where I could use that if I needed to, but I didn't feel the compulsion to get online. I didn't feel the compulsion to get up in the morning and check Facebook and Twitter and Instagram or whatever for an hour or two before I started functioning.
So, as currently advertised, this idea of being a job enhancer, making you more aware, more present, more functional. But we've all heard the stories of the bad trip, you know, the person who just got too high, went too deep, or became delusional or triggered something in the brain that was just too frightening to contemplate. Did you experience anything like that?
I didn't in that way. I did have some negative effects. The worst thing was actually from mixing alcohol with it. I had a meeting at a bar and we ended up drinking and it sort of went longer than one would expect. After that, I felt there were about 3 days that I couldn't sleep well and felt like I had these sort of night terrors of falling into a hole almost. And so I would caution that you have to have a certain level of psychological robustness to even want to try this. And one thing they're very cautious about is you shouldn't do it if you're on antidepressants, because much of the antidepressant serotonin came from LSD research. And so they work in similar ways. And so they don't know how those would interact. And also, you know, my job at that time was I wasn't working in an office other than my own office. I mean, if you had a job like on the sitcom The Office, absolutely don't do this. It's only going to make your life much more miserable than it already is, would be my guess.
We're going to hear right now from a couple of people who did not hear that advice not to do it at work. This is from the podcast Reply All. Fia Benin and PJ Vogt, who are both producers of the podcast, both secretly tried microdosing in the workplace and recorded what happened next. And as you're going to hear, one of them had a very different experience than the other.
How come you feel sad?
It's hard for me to sort out. I feel like doing it on the weekend with you felt fine and fun and good. And bringing it into the workplace felt like, I think it felt like bad to feel like I was like trying to hide something from everybody around me.
Yeah.
Like that's the difference between Monday when we were just like having a nice day together and like I told my community and everybody was like checking on me and being supportive. And instead this was like trying to have like a little secret inside myself.
Yeah. In retrospect, this seems obvious, but if you're going to take a drug because of the promise that it'll connect you to everybody and everything, you probably shouldn't build a wall of secrecy right through the middle of your experiment.
PJ Vogt speaking with Fia Benin, who have very, very different experiences microdosing. The secretive nature comes up for them because they were in an office space. But how about for you, Baynard? Would you do it again?
Yeah, I think I would. I found that it was intriguing and interesting, and I wish there were studies. I think that it's something we should have. There could be really great promise in using something like this. But I also am a little bit suspicious. One of the reasons I wanted to try it is I'm a little bit suspicious of this idea of become a better worker for the capitalist workforce or whatever, and turning this thing that was seen as really revolutionary into another way to make you, you know, in 60s parlance, more productive for the man. I'm suspicious of that. And so I was glad I was at least doing my own work. And I don't know that I would want to take a drug to be better for someone else's work.
Baynard Woods, thank you for speaking with us and sharing that experience.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Baynard Woods, he's a journalist and author, and he wrote for Vox about microdosing on LSD, which apparently is a big trend in Silicon Valley and other places to make people more productive. There's a link to read his full article at wordofmouthradio.org.
What you're listening to are musicians performing psychedelic music under the influence of a mind-altering chemical called LSD.